Blog Talk Radio.
Play Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, safe evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, it's the supervillain himself. We're here at the Sports City Chefs Roundtable Sports Show. I'm here. I'm hosting. TP is in a hole somewhere. He might come through. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe, but I put him away. I locked him away. Listen, call in number 929-477-2759. We're with you for the next 90 minutes here on Sports City Chefs Network. With the Roundtable Sports Show, I got my co-host on my side with me. I got the one and only Big Easy, Eric Gross, in the building. Eric, what's up, brother?
Dylan, what's good, my brother? Feeling good, excited about the show tonight. Let's go. We got the Roundtable of Sports here on the Sports City Chef Network.
Absolutely, man. We about to do this thing large, about to do it big. Like I said, TP's not here. We got it online. We love the big homie though, holding it down for us. But we're gonna take that blazer. We're gonna rip it off and we're gonna kick the phone booth down, you know, so he can't get in here. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm just like, he could go in anytime he wants. But listen, I gotta start the show off right. Live from Bedford Stuyvesant, the livest one representing BK to the fullest. Got the poet fast and fucking with Big B fucking chicken heads be clucking. My back. Listen, rest in peace to the great. Late great Notorious B.I.G. I always have to put that out there, and it's always funny, Eric, because it is that day coincides with my oldest brother's birthday. So my older brother Taj, you actually helped lace our theme music. Yeah, so he laced our theme music with Caviar. So I got to give him a shout out. Happy birthday to my big bro. So let's get this started. Let's get it off and popping. I know you guys had the Crossover Cafe, the Master Chef show. Great show. I listened to it today. Doing a lot of great things yesterday. Talking about the All-Star game that I felt was a disaster. I absolutely hated the game when I was watching it. I turned it off multiple times to watch anything I could. I think I watched up the paint dry a little bit in my room. Just to avoid watching that game. The All-Star game was just – there's just no defense. There's no effort. They didn't want to be there to begin with. And the dunk contest was weak at best, pretty lame. You know, trying to rush through a dunk contest at halftime was just a – I don't know who thought of it. I don't know who the ad wizards that thought of that. But it was a joke, man. I know you guys talked about it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'll give the credit. The 3-point shootout was great, you know, but it was short. It was short-lived. It would have been nice to see a couple rounds. My son and my daughter liked it just because, you know, like, oh, it keeps going in. Oh, it keeps that was cool. I wish they would have been able to see the dunk contest. I would have done that before the game. But I at the end of the day, I wouldn't have done it at all. We talked about it. It was just a money grab, and it just wasn't hitting. So I know you don't want – if you want to chime in on that, go ahead. But I know you guys talked about it yesterday on the Crossover Cafe, so.
No, I agree with you on all angles, except, the game was – the game was all right for what it was. They definitely went out and put a show on. I think Team Durant gave up at the end, but it was a show nonetheless. They went out there and dominated. So like they always do. The NBA All-Star Weekend is my favorite out of all the professional sports, just for that reason. Unlike the Pro Bowl, the NBA All-Star Game is pretty good too, but. These guys go all out to entertain the fans, which I think they did. So I was entertained. The dunk contest was extremely weak. That's one of my favorite events in All-Star Weekend is the slam dunk competition, along with most basketball fans. And to have it rushed like that with three competitors at halftime that did it no justice at all. It was weak. I would have rather had them do the skills competition at halftime and put on a good dunk show, you know what I mean? Because we already know these guys are talented. What do we got to see them? It's like a glorified practice, if you will, the skills competition in my eyes. So the three-point contest was definitely a highlight. So, like we chimed on about, look what happened. We were worried about it, and we got two of the top players for one of the best teams in the NBA right now having to sit out due to protocol for the COVID. And imagine, Royce brought it up last night, if these guys would have got on the plane sooner and went into contact with everybody, we would have had a lot of players on this protocol right now. So, very thankful that didn't happen. But, they should have just shut it down this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. Listen, the skills probably would have been better suited for halftime. I think you could have kind of that usually doesn't take too long. You could have pushed through that. Listen, I'm overly critical of the game just because, there was a show with the dunking and the shooting from half court. Yay, great. But, there was no defense. Guys were driving to the lane and nobody was doing anything. So it's just like, it's just not a game. It's like a game of pickup or a game of 21 that we used to play back in the day. First guy to 21 wins, It was just like, it was just ridiculous. Like everybody's standing around with one guy with the ball at the top of the key. And then everybody else, one guy might guard him and everybody else is standing around. That's 21. When I grew up back in the day. So, that's kind of what I got out of the game. It was just weak at best. So, listen, it is what it is. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. And, now it's over. Moving away from that, because I don't want to kill that too long. A story that came up kind of out of the All-Star game, I don't know if you touched on it yesterday or at any point, but Antoine Walker, former Celtics and Miami Heat player, does a podcast, All Things Covered. And he had some remarks on James Harden that came to the surface, and basically what he said, I'll quote it because I don't want to paraphrase him. He said, "I don't think you can win with his style. Anytime it takes a guy 6, 7, 8 dribbles to get where he has to go, that's a problem. It works today because it's more of a pick and roll league, so he gets away with a lot of things now, but I would not leverage my future for James Harden." Okay. That's a pretty popular take on Harden. I've had that criticism for him. Although I think he's a tremendous player, I hate the dribble, step back, shoot. It bores me to death. But can't deny the guy is a great player. That was Antoine Walker's opinion. James Harden, I think he was asked about those comments during the All-Star weekend during the media response in Atlanta, and basically said, kind of started off on the good foot saying, everybody has that opinion, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like stuff like that I don't pay attention to, especially somebody that has no credibility. Wah, wah, wah. Like, I don't know your opinion on this, Big E, but Harden's got – I don't want to say just Harden. I think all these NBA players are too sensitive. they're a bunch of babies. It's like if you don't agree with them or you don't cater to them or kiss their behind, everybody is, you know, critical or, you know, a hater or has no credibility. I think his response was just – it was just weak. It was just whacked, and it showed no class, because it's like Antoine Walker has a chip. You don't have a chip. Antoine Walker was that dude in Boston. I used to watch him play when I was up at school in New England, watching him and Paul Pierce play together. That team that, you know, almost – took a really good New Jersey Nets to the limit, and you know, went to the conference finals. That was a good Boston team. Antoine Walker, he's won at both levels. He's won in college and he's won at the pros. He's made All Star teams, etc. This guy is credible. He knows his stuff. He knows basketball. So for you to just, because he doesn't agree with you or your style of play, for you to be overly critical, it's just weak to me. So I don't know if you heard about it, Eric. I'll let you respond to it. But like, what do you think about Walker's comments, which I can get to after, and then Harden's response?
Well, you know, first off, I don't understand why Antoine Walker said, you know, you can't win with him dribbling like that. I mean, the guy is a great player. So, I mean, you can win like that. You know, that opens up plays when you're doing that, and then you can juke the defender. So I don't really know where he was coming for. Jordan did that all the time. Allen Iverson was the best that ever did it. So, you know, I kind of don't understand that. But James Harden is on glue, saying that Antoine Walker does not have any credentials, just like everything you just mentioned. So, I mean, Antoine Walker in his prime was a great player, man. So, and he's got the chip, great basketball IQ. So, you know, I agree with your, you know, saying that they're babies, because they are. You know, you see, you know, Shaq, I like Shaq a lot, but Shaq and a fool, how he clowns on these players and then takes it personally, and they're going back and forth on social media, and his mom even had to get involved in this situation. So it's like, you know what I mean? Relax, let it go. It's just talk about the sport that you love and that you were good at playing. You know, you don't need to be bashing people all the time and going back and forth because they don't agree with opinions. And that's all it is. You know, if I was James Harden, and I'm not a big James Harden fan. He is a great player. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to give him credit there. But this guy is kind of, I mean, he's one of the biggest crybabies there is. I need to go. I need to leave this team. I need to, you know what I mean? He did it in OKC. He did it in Houston. Cried his way out to, you know, to get over in Brooklyn. So, I'm not a big fan of players like that, you know what I mean? I'm not taking away nothing from this guy's skill set, because he is a great player. So don't get me wrong there by saying that. But it's just, get over the opinion, let it go, you know what I mean, and move on. So it's just opinion. So, but, you know, Harden needs to focus on winning. Because if it boils down to it, Harden has no credentials. You know what I mean? His career is not over. He's the ultimate crybaby, if you will. So, you know what I mean? Just focus on winning with the team you're with right now. If I was James Harden, I would have just let it go. You know what I mean? It is what it is. It's a guy's opinion. And when people, you know, I'm a firm believer, like, who cares what people think about you? You know what I mean? Prove them wrong. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. We're not here to please people. So, it is what it is, but you know, I agree with Harden. Just like, okay, yeah, he's dribbling. This guy creates plays. So Antoine Walker was wrong in making that assumption, because we saw Jordan do it, we saw Iverson, and a bunch of other players that creates plays, and you juke the defender, you can make shots. We all see James Harden do this. So, but at the end of the day, Antoine Walker definitely has the credentials, and James Harden needs to focus on playing basketball, not the outside noise. So that's my opinion on it, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with most of your take. I mean, I'll say that, well, I don't think Harden's style and Houston was able to win a championship, and that proved us right. He did come pretty darn close. They had no business being in a seven-game series against the Clay, Steph, and Durant-led Warriors team. And if Paul didn't get hurt, and if Harden had basically, I would say, showed up to game seven and made some shots, they probably would have won the finals that year. So, I mean, for Anton Walker to say that his style doesn't win championships is kind of half right, half wrong. If you know what I mean, like it led him to an MVP and a game out of the finals. So I think from that standpoint, you know, Walker, I disagree with. But it's okay to disagree with them. The fact that Harden comes out and attacks his credibility is just weak to me. And it shows that he's mentally weak. Like, all these players are mentally weak. Like, they just don't understand. Like, listen, these guys, like me and you, well, we don't get paid, but our job is to be critical and to have an opinion. Anton Walker has a job to be critical and to have an opinion, right or wrong, agree or disagree. You can respectfully disagree and move on. Like, I didn't agree with anything that Sirius said last week on one of the shows. But we respectfully disagreed. Now, I got heated, but we respectfully disagreed and moved on. These guys just hold it as a grudge, and, like, it's like a personal attack against him and his credibility. No, 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 no. That's not how it rolls. Because guess what? Eventually, James Harden, you're going to retire. You might have a job in the NBA, maybe doing what Shaq does or Charles Barkley does, and some young kid, some young quote-unquote punk is going to come up after you make an opinion about him and say you have no credibility, okay? Would you want that? Is that what you want? Like, what are you teaching these kids that are coming up? You know what I mean? If you don't respect my game and call me the man, then you just don't know what you're talking about. Like, come on, man. That's garbage, but... Harden's having an MVP caliber year in Brooklyn. There's no question about it. His style of play has kind of changed, and he can do whatever he needed to do to help that team win. In Houston, it was scoring a lot of points in iso ball and pick and roll. In Brooklyn, it's really being a facilitator, running the offense, and being a triple-double guy, and he can do it. And the fact that he can do any style of play really speaks to how good he is. So I think, why can't he just say, you know what, I respectfully disagree. You know, playoff time, you know, hopefully I'll prove him wrong. And that's all you had to say and move on. But you took it another level and did some crybaby stuff. And now, you know, you just look like a baby. That's what you look like. That's who you are now. It's sad, you know what I mean? So... hopefully he can learn from this experience. And, you know, and Anton Walker, you know, maybe he was talking about his play in Houston. I don't know. Maybe he hasn't seen him. If he hasn't seen him in Brooklyn, then I don't know where those comments came from. Because to me, Harden's playing probably his best basketball of his career right now in Brooklyn, doing anything and everything that team needs. And getting them at the halfway mark, that's the two seeds. So, yeah, that's kind of my take on it. But I mean, it's sad because, you know what, I look at it, Eric. Like, I have never played professional basketball. I've never played, you know, organized sports. But I've played the game enough, and I've watched the game enough to know a little bit about the game and to have some type of, you know, say, like, oh, I know this or I know that. Like, it may not make me an expert like, you know, some of the guys that are on the big networks, but I think it makes me pretty knowledgeable of the game. I think you're pretty knowledgeable about the game. You know, you've watched it long enough, so why does that not make us credible? You know, if we just don't agree with you, is that, you know what I mean? That's the criteria. You know what I'm saying, Eric? So, It's just so annoying. It's sad, and I hope he learns from this experience, and he should, and he really should. So
yeah, you're correct, Ron. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll see we'll see where that goes. But yeah, call in number 929-477-2700. 5'9", hanging with the villain, hanging with Big Easy, Eric, on the Sports City Chefs Roundtable Sports Show. That's a mouthful. We got to shorten. But no, I'm kidding. Listen, we'll call it the Roundtable, right? Round Ball. So speaking
there
of Round
go.
Ball, so we got halfway to the NBA season, thankfully, in this trying time with the pandemic, a lot of people didn't know if the season was going to start, if it was going to start on time, but we're moving through it. We're getting to the halfway point. So I thought it would be nice if the Chefs come with a little heat, come with a little mid-season kind of grades and awards and stuff. I mean, I was going to go team by team, but that could get boring. So, maybe we'll just kind of cherry pick by conference. So, we'll start out West since, that's where you are out in Colorado. And a Laker fan, begrudgingly a Laker fan. I don't know how does that happen, Laker fans. I got family members that are Laker fans. I don't know what we're. I'm gonna pray.
Yeah.
I keep praying for them every night. I pray for them every night, but they just won't change their ways. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, I do pray for them. So we'll start out West. But in your opinion, through the first half of the year. We'll start with who do you think is the best team out West? And, the easy answer is who's, the one seed. But, I mean, it could be any answer that you like. Who do you think is playing the best basketball and is the best team so far in the first half?
Well, we're just going to have to keep it real here. The Utah Jazz have been surprising, but I'm going to go another route here. I'm going to say the Phoenix Suns. Look what they're doing, 24-11 right now, and they're the number two seed, and no one expected this out of them. You know what I mean? They got the acquisition of Chris Paul, bringing him in, and this guy has really done a great job facilitating this team. They're well coached. So I'm going to say the Phoenix Suns right now. And if the Lakers could land Andrew Drummond, then, things could change. But as of right now, I'm going to say the Phoenix Suns. They're only two games behind the Utah Jazz, too. So that's who I really like in the West right now.
Yeah, I mean, we and TP talked about the Phoenix Suns. I'm really, really happy for them. They're a nice story out there. Glad to see them winning some games. I'll go with the Jazz. I think, the job that, this is a deep team, okay? They have a star in Mitchell. They have good players in Gobert. They have all-stars in Connolly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is obviously a very, very good deep team. But Quinn Snyder doesn't get enough credit for what he's doing and that coaching staff. I mean, they do everything well. They defend. They defend the perimeter. They defend down low, guard the rim. They rebound. They shoot. They've got great shooters out there. I mean, they have, up and down. They have Clarkson that's a, sixth man of the year candidate. Bogdanovich is playing great basketball this year. Favors coming off. This is a really good team, and they're just doing everything right now. Like, will that translate in the playoffs? When you need that one alpha, I don't know if Donovan, listen, TP loves Donovan. I love Donovan too. I wish he was in New York, but is he that alpha that can really push you to the finals? We'll see. The Lakers have that guy, even the Clippers have that guy. I think the Suns, they might, the Sixers and the Nets obviously do too. So, is Donovan on that level? Can he push to that level and be that alpha dog that can really get them through a finals when they need to, get them in a tough series? It's a long series. Seven games is a lot of games to play the same teams. You start to figure things out, and by the end, it comes down to will. Who can will their team to the win? So can Mitchell do it? But right now, they're fun to watch. They're exciting. They're a deep team, and I got to give them their flowers. So I'll go with them. On that note, Who to you, Eric, has been the biggest surprise so far in the Western Conference? I know there's a couple candidates, a couple teams that, you know, are better or worse than you thought. Like, from a positive standpoint, who's the most pleasant surprise to you in the Western Conference?
I'm going right back to the well here, the Phoenix Suns. You know what I mean? Yeah, no one thought they were going to be as good as they are this year. Just the addition of Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges has stepped up his game. DeAndre Ayton is starting to elevate his game. You know, he's a potential superstar in this league. We'll see how it goes the next few years. He's been playing great. We all know Devin Booker doesn't need an introduction. They're getting good bench play. Cameron Johnson, Cameron Payne. You know, they and a thing that people don't realize, they brought back Frank Kaminsky, and he's a good guy to have coming off your bench. You know, the Sacramento Kings cut him at the beginning of the year, and I was like, wow, that's a loss, because this guy can clog up the middle. He's a seven-footer, and he can score some points. He's a good shooter, and he'll get you some rebounds and some blocks. So this is a really good team, and this team is going to be a threat to any team in come playoff time for the West, whether it's the Lakers, the Jazz, the Clippers, the Nuggets. This team is going to be a threat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love the Suns. I think they put the league on notice last year in the bubble, going 8-0, surprisingly, after everybody didn't even think they belonged there. And they rode that momentum into the season. They traded for Chris Paul, which people didn't, you know, they knew it was a good pickup, and they knew Chris Paul would probably have a good impact because of what they did in the bubble. But to kind of go to this level this quickly, I didn't think it would happen. That book is a beast. Please give that man his respect, NBA. I don't know why they just keep fronting on him. He's one of the best shooters, one of the best two guards in basketball right now, and I would put him in that class with Beal and Clay and company. Like, he's that dude. So, you know, to see them winning, playing some, Monty Williams deserves a lot of credit in Phoenix. So yeah, that's a great pick. I was thinking Golden State, just because with the injuries they had and kind of retooling that team for them to be close in the discussion, you know, in the playoff mix, I think like a half game out behind Dallas is a feat in itself. But I'll say, you know what? I'll say the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, they don't have – like, DeMar DeRozan's having a really good year. I thought he probably was one of those guys that got snubbed out of the All-Star game. You know, his numbers are phenomenal, 20 points, 7 assists, almost 5 rebounds a game. Really leading that team. It's a balanced team, more or less, with Keldon Johnson and Murray kind of and Aldridge accepting his role coming off the bench as the center. You know, that's helping this team. You know, he was brought there to be a guy, and you know, it hasn't really kind of worked out. But he's kind of accepting his role right now. Pop has this team playing very intelligent, playing team basketball. I was impressed with the beatdown that they gave my Knicks. I hadn't really seen them a lot, so watching them play, I'm like, okay, yeah, they can play some basketball. So Pop's figured it out. It's a younger team, and they have contributors all throughout the line. Rudy Gay, you know, is playing some good basketball. So, you know, Patty Mills off the bench, you know, not off the bench. I mean, you know, well, no, he's comes off the bench. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, he's playing good basketball too. So, you know, their second unit kind of pushes them, that propels them. So I like what the Spurs are doing out West. So, I mean, they're a dangerous team. They're in the playoff mix right now. I think they're the sixth seed or seventh seed. So, you know, I don't know how long they can hang on, but I mean, everybody else below them, you know, meh, you know what I mean? I don't know if there's a lot of teams that's going to make a lot of moves. So I like what's going on in San Antonio. So, yeah, so, I mean, in the West, who's your biggest disappointment? so far. I mean, there's a lot of candidates that I could have on that list. But I, you know, we've kind of talked about a few on past shows, but I mean, out West, Eric, who do you think as a team is the biggest disappointment so far in the first half of the year?
I'm going to say the Dallas Mavericks by far. Porzingis, if he was healthy this year, this team was supposed to elevate it to the next level. They did a lot of damage in the playoffs last year without him, so that gave hope, but they've completely underperformed the whole year, so that's kind of concerning. That's my biggest disappointment out of the West this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I couldn't agree more. You know, Dallas, you know, everybody was on the Luka train. Everybody kind of looked at Luka Doncic as, you know, the heir apparent, the MVP candidate this year. And it's not his fault because he's having statistically a phenomenal year, but he has no help. Injuries ravaged that team. Porzingis is not the Robin to his Batman. He can't be even trusted or relied upon to be there at certain points in the year. So it's like, oh God, like what can you do with this team? You know, they got healthy down the stretch. Porzingis is playing. I'll give him that. But you know, Dallas is just underwhelmed, 2 games over .500 and just got over .500 like the last week or two of the, before the All-Star break. So, they're kind of, you know, just not really, they should be better than what they are. And I agree with you with that, but I'll take it to another team out in the West. I'm looking at the New Orleans Pelicans, and I don't know if you agree with them or not. I think they're a disappointment too. I think Dallas is the biggest disappointment, to your point, but I think I look at the Pelicans. I think the momentum that they had last year in the bubble, it was two tale of two teams. I thought they had momentum and the Suns had momentum. The Suns rode that momentum. The Pelicans have taken a step back, in my opinion. You know, listen, and it's not because of Zion. Zion is having a phenomenal year. I think it's the loss of Holiday that's hurting them. I don't know if you agree with that. I think they need a point guard that can stabilize that team. Listen, I like what Steven Adams does down low. Brandon Ingram is a good 1-2 punch, but is he that 2 punch for Zion? I think you need an outside guy, a point guard, to be the punch with Zion, kind of like Stockton Malone, Peyton, and the Rain Man, Sean Kemp. I think they need an outside guy to go with Zion. I think Ingram is a good piece, a good third piece, but I think they need a point guard down in New Orleans. But I look at them, and if they should be better than 15-21. They just really should, and it starts, I think, at the point guard position. So I hope it changes because I like Zion. I like Brandon Ingram. I like what they do. Zion is, it's just excitement. He's box office. But Stan Van Gundy came in, and he was supposed to fix this team, and I feel like they've taken a step back. I feel like they're not, I don't know. I just don't know. I feel like I don't know if he isn't really the answer there, but like, it's just not working right now, and I hope they can figure it out. I don't know if you agree with – I love your opinion on the Mavericks. I agree with you. But I look at the Pelicans, too, as a disappointment out there. And Eric Bledsoe, please – will the real Eric Bledsoe please stand up? I don't know. Coming out of Kentucky, he was supposed to be that guy, and he's just – you know, everywhere he goes – it's just the same old story. Like they can't figure him out. So hopefully they get him figured out. But disappointing. So we got the Pelicans, you got the Mavs. And I'll ask this one question, then we can go out east. What team in the West, Eric, do you think is primed for a big second half? There's a lot of good teams out there. That kind of are feeling their way through the Western Conference. And then, you know, I think eventually we'll make that push to the upper echelon in the playoff push. Who do you think is primed to make a second half push?
I think the Denver Nuggets, they're starting to come back alive. They were off to a slow start. Michael Porter Jr.'s come alive. He got off to a slow start. So we all know about the Joker. Jamal Murray's playing really good. They're getting some good production from their rookies, Isaiah Hartenstein and Nazi. And this team is going to start to come alive. I look for them to be right there within the top five come playoff time, and they're going to be dangerous. So, but the Nuggets are definitely on the surge out here in the West for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the Denver Nuggets, I mean, I think their record, they're only six games above 500. They're a better team than that. I think they can definitely make a nice push. You're right, Joker is that dude. Murray and Porter and company. I like that pick. I know the Lakers are going to be there. We know they're going to get, you know, once they get healthy, they're going to make a push, and they're going to prove all the doubters wrong that, you know, they're that team out West. So I'm not worried about them. I'll actually take it. I was going to say the Clippers, but they're just not, they're so inconsistent. They're maddening inconsistent. So I think the Mavericks are actually primed to make a push. And for all the reasons that we said that they didn't play well in the first half, they're healthy. I think Porzingis getting on the court and Luka is that dude. I think they're starting to figure it out. Carlisle's starting to figure it out down there. But, you know, they won 8 out of their last 10, including 3 straight to end the first half of the season. I look at them and I say, you know what? When they're healthy, they're a good basketball team. So I think they're going to figure it out, and I think they're going to be that team that's going to get into that range where you're talking about, that 5 range, and be a dangerous team. You know, Portland, they got to get healthy. I love Dame Lillard. When it's Dame time, you know, there's not a lot of guys better. He's carrying that team to the 5 seed right now. Melo's playing some good basketball too. He's kind of wound the clock back a little bit. You know, we got daylight savings coming, but he's actually wound it back a little bit. But McCollum's got to get healthy. Honestly, I think McCollum's just not a fit. I think they got to trade him. I think they got to find another guy to win with Lillard before, you know, they waste Lillard's time in Portland. I wish Lillard was in another city, but I think I love McCollum. I think those two together are good. They're just not good enough to beat, like, the Suns, the Lakers, the Jazz. You know what I mean? So I think they got to find another combination. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Portland's there too. But I think Mavericks are – I think they're going to make a push. I really like what – I think they're starting to figure it out. So I know TP would want me to say the Thunder, but that ain't happening. We don't do that. We don't do that on the Village Show. So. But we'll leave it there. But let's come out east, where the Villain and TP reside, where we live at. So I mean, you know, the East is a little better than we thought they would be this year. At least at the top, you know, they're top heavy. But you know, the middle to the bottom of the pack is what we always think they are. They are who we thought they are, right? I don't play those drops. TP could probably play that drop, but I don't even want to look for it. out in the East, who do you think is the top dog in the Eastern Conference, Eric?
Philadelphia, without a shadow of a doubt. Brooklyn's going to have to play defense for me to co-sign with them. The 76ers have the MVP right now, if you ask me. Joel Embiid, they're playing on all cylinders. This team could play defense. They got Doc Rivers, who's a really good coach and got that good experience, and he has these guys playing really well. They got a bunch of good role players around them. Shake Milton's playing really good this year. The accusation of Dwight Howard was huge for them. That was a huge loss for the Lakers. This guy's still one of the best rebounders and defenders in all of basketball. So they just got a deeper bench than Brooklyn, and they would be able to stop Brooklyn a little bit. They'd be able to slow down that offense. And in a 7-game series, I just don't see Brooklyn being able to beat these guys. So definitely the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the record don't lie. They're at the top. I like what they're doing, Philly. I agree with you. Dwight Howard was a big acquisition and a big loss on both sides. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, he still can rebound. He can still defend. He can still move his feet. He is no slouch. I'm going to go against that. I'm going to say Brooklyn. And I think Brooklyn, listen, they've won 9 out of the last 10. I know we've opined about their defense and how they haven't played, but guess what? They're starting to figure it out. They're starting to get together on defense and starting to have guys that are playing in their spots, playing in their roles. I think Jordan is kind of getting his groove. Like I said, Harden is an MVP candidate. I mean, people aren't really talking much about him. I agree Embiid is that guy. But Harden's numbers that he's put up since coming to Brooklyn are phenomenal. I think they're starting to figure it out. I think getting Blake Griffin gives them some depth, gives them a second unit big that can play down there. If you're expecting him to jump over Kia cars and stuff, I don't think that's that guy. But I like what Brooklyn's doing. I think they're playing enough defense. They're going to be a dangerous team. I don't see the Sixers beating Brooklyn in a 7-game series right now. I just don't see it. I think they can give them all kinds of fits, but that offense, and it's just they're scary, and they're starting to figure it out. You know, Harden's leading the way. If Kevin Durant's not healthy, I think it hurts them. He's got to get back, and he's got to get healthy. And, you know, Kyrie just has to, you know, think about playing basketball instead of doing anything else that he wants to do. Once he gets lost in his thoughts, he doesn't show up. I don't know what he does, but he needs to play. You can't leave Harden hanging by himself out there like that. But either way, I like what he's doing. I like this team. I think Nash has kind of figured it out in company. So that's going to be my pick. I know it goes against chalk, but, you know, I got to spice up a little bit. So, Aaron, who is the biggest pleasant surprise in the East? And I think you know who the villain's going to pick. But I got to hear it from you, Eazy-E. Who do you think is the biggest surprise so far out in the Eastern Conference halfway point?
You already know I'm going with the same answer as you, the New York Knicks. Tom Thibodeau, buddy. Hey, he's got my nod for the coach of the year. He's completely turned around this team. Yeah, absolutely. The Knicks have been the laughingstock for a good 20 years now in the NBA, and they got Julius Randle, who's emerged into a superstar. RJ Barrett's playing good. Emmanuel Quickly. They got all these guys that are gelling together, and they have a deep bench. This team is going to be in the playoffs this year, folks. Yes, the New York Knicks are definitely going to the playoffs this year. So Tom Thibodeau definitely has my nod for NBA Coach of the Year. Like I said, he's completely turned this franchise around. No one expected the Knicks to do anything this year. They were writing off Randle, and Randle is turning into the player that we knew he could be when the Lakers drafted him number 2 overall. So this is really good news for fans out east, especially in New York. But the Knicks are back, folks. The New York Knicks are back.
And, you know, people like to give us crap like, oh, you know, they're 1 game over 500 and they're dancing in the streets. They think they're doing, you know, like, come on, listen. We haven't had anything to root for in God knows how long. Give us a break. We winning. We doing some things. Listen, of course it's the Knicks. Listen, everything you said is right. Julius Randle, all-star nod. Tibbs, coach of the year candidate, absolutely turning this team around. One of the best defensive teams in the league. Right there, I think only giving up about 104 points a game. I think that's best in the league, if I'm not mistaken. I'll run through the numbers. But, you know, right now, as it stands, you know, points allowed per game and, you know, differential, all that stuff, one of the best in the game. So they're doing it on the defensive end. They're exciting offensively with Quickly, a rookie of the year candidate. Barrett's making a leap. I think, you know, he kind of had an up and down year last year with the injuries and the COVID and all that kind of stuff. He's bounced back, had a solid year. Picking up Rose was a nice acquisition. You know, Robinson playing well. I mean, guys off the bench are playing some good basketball. I'm looking at Nolan's Noel playing some good basketball, defending the rim. Just doing your job. That's all they're asking you to do. We're not asking you to score 20 points a game. We're asking you to defend it and rebound. He's doing that. Randall, like I said, having a phenomenal year. And, you know, it was to the point where at the end of last year, I wanted him gone. And now I'm looking at this guy and I'm saying, you know what? This might be a cornerstone piece in New York. So happy to see that. They're just a good story for New York. Even though the Nets are the best team, the Knicks are in the back page. They're the headline because they're overachieving. They're ahead of schedule so far. So it's great to see. And, you know, I wish there was more people in the Garden to see it. Of course I was going to say the Knicks. You know that, brother. But I got a caller calling in. I'm going to bring him in. I'm curious to see who this is. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Russ. I'm from Memphis.
Hey, Russ, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I mean, it's obvious that it's going to be the Lakers and the Nets in the finals. And, like, James Harden, since his last season, since Ron James' last season at Miami, James Harden has been playing better defense than LeBron James. And you can look that up. You can look up his stats, and that's obvious. If you don't know that, you don't really know that much about basketball. Because you can look that up.
What are you laughing about
this season? LeBron James has 1.1 steals and 0.6 blocks. So obviously LeBron James is playing worse defense. So what are you laughing about?
No, hang on. This is the villain show. Don't come in and be disrespectful. I'm not laughing at you. I want you to elaborate that up with some talk.
I just did.
So that's a.
I just did.
That's okay.
Go cry.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. So, all right. So, what do you think about that, Eric? I mean, he's saying that LeBron James and Harden aren't on the same level defensively right now. That basically, we got Harden playing better defense than LeBron. What do you think about that, Eric?
I'm gonna have to say that you're on glue, sir. Watch the games. LeBron James plays great defense.
Explain the stats then, bitch.
Plays mediocre defense at best.
Then why does he have better?
Yeah.
What stats are you looking at?
Yeah, we dropped him. I mean, he's looking at he's looking at basically steals per game, and he's looking at blocks per game. Which is fine. Those are good vanity stats to have on the outside looking in. But, you know, to your point, you got to look at how they're playing team defense and what he's doing defensively. Those stats don't tell the whole story on defense. You got to put in rebounds. You got to put defensive rebounds and all that good stuff. So, you know, there's levels to it. There's levels to it. So, you know, we'll see. But listen, Harden's having a great year.
Yeah, this
I love
guy
what
didn't
Harden's
add in
doing.
Steals and blocks and all that, you know. So
He just had the steals and the blocks, which is fine. But you got to look at what these guys are doing. Like even, you know, Ben Simmons doesn't get enough credit for the defensive player that he is. And, you know, does he have the steals and blocks that are comparable to anybody else in the league? Maybe not. I mean, he's never going to have the blocks that – I mean, Mitchell Robinson has, what, two blocks a game, I think, something like that. He's at the top. I mean, but are you going to say that Mitchell Robinson is the best defensive player in the league just because he has two blocks a game? Ben Simmons has 1.6. Well, we know Ben Simmons is one of the best on-ball defenders in the game of basketball. So, you know, the stats tell a story. Ball don't lie, just like – like Rasheed Wallace said, ball don't lie and stats don't lie. But there's more to it than just the stats. So I'll leave that there. So, but yeah, listen, Knicks feel good story. I got to turn the page. Who's on the other side looking in? Who's that guy that we're saying isn't really, or not the guy, the team that is underachieving so far this year at the halfway point, Eric? Who do you think? I mean, there's a lot of candidates, and I was trying to think of one or the other. What team do you think is underachieving so far in the Eastern Conference? Do we lose you, Eric? Are you on mute? I don't know if you're on mute. If you're not there, let me know.
No, I'm here, bro. I'm here. Yeah, go. Repeat that. I'm sorry. I was having a little bit of technical difficulties over there.
That's okay. I get it. It's one of those days, like. But I would say, listen, there's a lot of teams that are candidates for, you know, underachievers of the year so far in the Eastern Conference. I was trying to find a team that I could say that was the definitive one, and I was, like, going back and forth. There's a lot of candidates for that. But who do you think, in your opinion, is that team that has underachieved the most so far this year?
Well, I would say the Washington Wizards, but they have picked it up. So I'm going to go with the Detroit Pistons. You know, they brought in a new head coach. They have all this talent, but they haven't been able to put it together. I think the head coach has completely lost this team. We've talked about it on other shows that, you know, these players are kind of out there doing their own thing. You know what I mean? There's a lot of me players just trying to take shots. They really haven't developed an offensive identity. The Blake Griffin experiment ended horribly. Boatloads of money. He was hardly on the court for them. And this year, you know, maybe he would be healthy with this good young talent. And I expected the Pistons to be, you know, maybe a playoff team, you know, rounding out the final eight spot or around that, at least be a lot better than where they're at right now at the bottom of the barrel. Pretty much, you know, one of the worst teams in the NBA. So they spent all that money on a head coach coming from Toronto, and it just hasn't panned out. So, and the talent's there. This team is extremely loaded with talent. They have the players. They just have not been able to gel. You know, Wayne Ellington has elevated his game. They got, I don't want to butcher his name, but the Lakers had him. The Lakers drafted him, the McKillichuk.
Yeah.
They brought in Dennis Smith Jr., Saban Lee, Rodney McGruder. You know, this team does have some players. They just have not been able to find a system. Dennis Smith Jr. has actually, you know, since they acquired him, been decent. You know, this is another guy that was projected to be a pretty good star in this league, but he's underachieved. So, yeah, my answer is the Detroit Pistons for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Pistons have a lot of talent, and I feel like they should be better than, you know, 10-26 right now. A lot of losses, a lot of bad losses. There's a lot of teams that I had on my list. I mean, the Miami Heat would be one, but they're starting to pull it together. I think injuries were really kind of their problem, just like the Mavericks. So coming off that finals appearance, I mean, you know, for them to only be 500 is kind of a miracle because how bad they got out of the gates and the injuries they dealt with. I'm looking at teams like the Pacers who are starting to struggle now. They're not healthy. They're starting to lose their way. The Hawks, I mean, the Atlanta Hawks, shout out to Naj. They should be better than 16-20. I mean, really? I mean, they brought in some nice free agents. They brought in Rondo. They brought in, you know, Gallo and company to go with Trae Young, who should have been an all-star. And they just haven't really put it together. They've been losing some bad games. So I think they're kind of just doing their own thing on offense and not really kind of following the program, the system. But to me, when I look at it, Eric, and I don't know if you agree, the team that bothers me the most is the Boston Celtics. They should not be two games over 500. They should be well over 500 with the talent that they have. They have two all-stars who are, without a question, you know, two of the better young players in this league, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They got a really good coach in Brad Stevens, and they brought in Kemba Walker to kind of replace Rozier slash Kyrie Irving, and he can ball. That brother can ball. I know from the UConn days. And for that team to only be two games above 500 is worrisome. I mean, losing Smart to injury doesn't help. I'll give you that. But they don't have any size. If anybody should be on the Drummond train, it should be the Celtics. Either that or Vukacek, who I from the Magic, who I think they've been linked to trying to get into some trade talks with them. That would be a nice pickup for them. But they definitely need size. They need a big to get it going. Kemba isn't really healthy this year. I think once, you know, when he plays back-to-back games, he only averages about 12 points a game. When he misses a game and comes back a little rested, he's averaging about 24. So he's the big difference out there. Once he gets going and Smart gets healthy, Boston will be better. But for them to be where they are is just bothersome to me. And the talent on that team with Tatum and Brown has to elevate that team. If they are big contract guys, they are getting paid big dollars. As Danny Ainge said, they're getting the big money. They got to perform. So I'm looking at them and like, all right, you guys got your money. You guys need to will these teams to some wins, and it starts now. So I mean, listen, like I said, there's a lot of candidates for that for this team. But Boston to me is a big worry for me. I don't know if you agree or disagree, Eric.
No, I agree with you there. But if Marcus Smart was there, I think it would be a different story. That's another situation where I think they're poorly coached. So, you know, it's. I think the Celtics, once he gets back, they're going to make a push. But I would agree with you that they're a disappointment for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Stevens has got them kind of going in the right direction. They've won four straight going into the break. They were two games under 500. It was really a problem. They've won four straight to get two games over 500. And I think the effort on defense has kind of picked up, and that's on Stevens. You got to get those guys going, so. And I do like the Wizards too, but you know, I think outside of the backcourt, they just don't have enough. But I think they can make a playoff push. I think they can sneak in there. Who do you think, Eric? Who's the team that in the East that's primed for a nice push in the second half to get into a playoff picture? Who do you think out of all those teams that have kind of maybe been underperforming or just kind of hanging around, is ready to make that big push? We got you, Eric. No? Okay. I'll go first if you're not there. I'm looking at the Miami Heat. Miami Heat is the team that, in my eyes, they're primed for a second-half push because they're healthy. They're playing good basketball right now. They've won 7 out of their last 10. They got the horses. They got Tyler Hero. They got Jimmy Buckets. Bam. Adebayo. That team, I think, now that they're healthy – and, you know, they got a really good coach in Spoelstra. I think they're ready to kind of make that push and kind of get from the 6 seed maybe up to a 4-3 level. I don't know who they push down. There's some good teams ahead of them, Boston and the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know if they can push them down, but, you know, I think the Heat will push their way into the playoffs, and they'll be a dangerous out. They'll be a tough out for whoever's got to play them in the playoffs, because they got the talent, they've got the experience of making a deep run, they got a good coach. So I like what the Heat is doing. I like what they're doing out there. I don't know if, Eric, if you're with us, if you're there, you know, let me know. Just scream and shout. But that's who I like out there with the Miami Heat. Call in number 929-477-2759. On the Roundtable Sports Show with my man Eric, Eazy-E, having some technical difficulties, but we'll bring him back in. and rocking with yours truly, the villain himself, the super villain, got 30 minutes left on this show. So I actually want to, you know, pivot from the teams, and I want to go to an individual award. I want to talk, you know, who do I think is in that MVP talk right now? You know, I had posed this question to the chefs to cook up. You know, who's the MVP? Who would I think is a runner-up, and who do I think is a dark horse to get up in that MVP talk and be in that conversation? I don't know if Eric, if you're there, let me know. Are you there? Don't have him. But I'll just start putting it around. Who's in that MVP talk right now? I think the clear MVP in this first half of the year is Joel Embiid. I mean, you look at this guy, you look at his numbers, and you know it's not just the numbers that he has. You know, it's thirty points a game at the center position, 11 rebounds a game. You know, almost one and a half blocks per game. He's doing it at all facets. He's playing defense. He's rebounding. He's scoring, doing what that team needs to do. We haven't seen a center like that in a while, a skilled center that is just dominating the game. There's just, you know, there's guys that are playing some good basketball that are in that conversation. But I'm looking at Embiid, and I'm saying, wow. Doc Rivers has figured him out, got him to put his behind down on the block. Don't be hanging around the three-point line, which he can do. He can shoot it, and he does make some shots. But, you know, he's got that back-to-the-basket game now that it's really hard to stop. I watched him play against the Lakers, and I watched him abuse a really good center in Marc Gasol because Marc Gasol couldn't handle him. He's just too quick. He's too big. He just could not handle Embiid down low. That's the guy for me right now playing at an MVP level. Not just an all-star level, an MVP level. And he to me, is a favorite. If I had to pick a runner-up, I'm looking at the Joker. I'm looking at the guy out west the Joker, Jokic. He's a guy, to me, that's, you know, if Embiid wasn't playing at that level, Joker would be right there, and he would be my pick. That's in my opinion. There's a lot of guys that are playing some good basketball, but I'm looking at Jokic, 21 points, averaging almost 9 assists as a center. That's stupid numbers. And averaging 11 rebounds a game. Those numbers are MVP level. It's just that Embiid is on another level, and you can't put those two guys, you know, you can't give it to both. Maybe you can do a co-MVP. I hope not. But, you know, Jokic is having a phenomenal year for a good Denver Nuggets team that Eric watches out there in Colorado. So that's my guy. If I had a dark horse, there's a lot of dark horse picks I could probably go with. Donovan Mitchell, Dame Lillard is a guy for me. You know, Kawhi's having a good year when he plays. LeBron, obviously. I think a guy that's a real, true dark horse is probably Harden. And because he's doing anything and everything that team in Brooklyn needs to win. He's out there rebounding. He's out there scoring when they need a bucket. He's distributing the basketball when they need somebody to facilitate. He's running the offense. He's having one of his best, if not probably, you know, his best year given the circumstances. I like what he's doing out there. I love his game right now. He's kind of evolved his game from being that dribble, step back, scoring 50 points where he doesn't have to do that. His first game in Brooklyn, it was a triple-double. And he's been kind of on that level ever since. So I like him as a dark horse. Now, do I think he would win it over, like, a LeBron or Kawhi or Mitchell or Dame? No, probably not. But I like what Harden's doing out there. I got to give him some props. And listen, Dame Lillard deserves props, too. Luka's having a good statistical year. He's doing some good things, too. There's a lot of guys out there. There's going to be that second half where guys have to separate from the pack. And I think Joker and Embiid are separating from that pack. But there's guys in that discussion that you have to bring up, and I wouldn't be being fair if I wasn't bringing up Harden in that mix. So that's my MVP list. I mean, and we're looking at Rookie of the Year in the NBA so far. I mean, you know, listen, there's some good rookies. There's some guys that are doing some big things, but if I'm looking at a Rookie of the Year, it's that guy in Charlotte, man, LaMelo Ball. I didn't think he would be, you know, this good this early. I thought maybe he would need some time, but, you know, almost 16 points a game, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He's balling out. He is a great story in Charlotte. He's playing some good basketball. He's finally the point guard that team has been looking for. He is a Rookie of the Year candidate to me. His numbers are just solid. And for a Charlotte team that if the season ended right now, they're in the playoffs. They're a playoff team. So I like what he's doing out there. You know, listen, if there was a guy that I would say, you know, was right there with him, probably Edwards. I think out in Minnesota, I think Anthony Edwards is having a pretty darn good rookie campaign. 14, almost 15 points a game, 4 rebounds, almost 3 assists. He's out there balling out too. So that's my guy. But listen, it's LaMelo's Ball's kind of, it's his ball to drop, if you want to say it like that. It's his race to lose. If there was a dark horse, you know who I'm going to go. You guys know who I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with the quick. I'm going with quickly. IQ. Emmanuel Quickly with the Knicks. You know, he's having a nice rookie year, and nobody expected it. 12 points a game, you know, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, but off the bench. And, you know, he's exciting to watch. I think if he was a starter, getting starter minutes, those numbers would go up. But, you know, right now, it's hard to say LaMelo Ball isn't that guy. But I got the guy from the 703 calling in. The man himself, Mr. Serious, Aaron Simmons. Not my nemesis. That's my bro. That's my brother. What's up, Serious?
What's going on, gentlemen? It's such a pleasure to be here with you guys on a round table. Let's get to work, man.
Yeah, absolutely. We had Eric here. He's got having some technical difficulties, so hopefully he can get back in and come back on the show. But listen, we ran through all these storylines. I don't know if you were listening or not. You should be. Everybody should be listening on Blog Talk Radio and on streaming apps available all day, every day. Got to get that plug in. But, you know, listen, I don't know if you've been listening, if you want to kind of give me all of your stuff in one big spoonful. But, I mean, like, you know, is there a surprise team out west? Is there a surprise team in the east? Underachieving team in both conferences, if you want to just running me down.
All right, bet. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to listen in for the past hour, but I'm just going to go ahead and pick up where you left off. A surprising team in the West, honestly, and I'm not even sure if they're going to be a surprise, but it's going to be the Golden State Warriors for me. This is a team that literally is being held together by one man. I mean, so for me, the surprise team out West would be the Golden State Warriors. A surprising team in the negative aspect out West, I gotta sit myself down where I live, and that'd be the Houston Rockets. This is a team for me that literally has imploded on themselves. They can't seem to get themselves right. I understand that since the James Harden trade, you know, we really have hit the button on the full-fledged restart, rebuild. But going into the All-Star break, losing 13 straight is unacceptable. I don't care who's playing. I don't care what's going on. We got to figure out a way to get it done. In the Western Conference, the prize team in the East Conference. for me would be the Boston Celtics negatively. This is a team that we have beat to death here in Sports City, and I'm going to keep beating them to death until they figure out there's too much talent on that ball club for them to be playing the way they've been playing. A surprising team for positive, honestly, will be right here where I'm sitting at, Washington, D.C., and the Washington Wizards, man. This is a team that was left for dead. This is a team that have dealt with injuries and COVID and this, that, and the third, and have scratched and clawed and found their way to be back relevant in this basketball season. We've all sat here and literally called for Scott Brooks' job and this, that, and the third. Sports talk, you know, shows out here in the Metro have called for his job, and he has smiled in the face of adversity, kind of given us and the rest of the NBA community a middle finger and said, watch me work. He's benefited from getting some key contributors from obviously Bradley Beal, who is an MVP candidate in his own right, and get some key contributions from some guys who has just been castaways in other cities and other situations. If I'm going to do a rookie of the year, obviously LaMelo Ball, you know, endorsement for me. You mentioned quickly as I was coming on the air, but Yamahimi is a guy, in my honest opinion, who is playing some amazing ball right now for these Washington Wizards. This is a guy who has been inserted into the starting lineup and is literally, you know, giving them, you know, in between 11 and 14 a game. Playing well on the defensive side of the ball, can hit an open shot. I mean, obviously, I'm grabbing at straws because unless an act of God takes place, this is LaMelo Ball's award to lose. But at the end of the day, we have to give credit where credit is due. I'm not too sure where else you guys got, but I'll stop there unless I need to continue.
No, you're good. I mean, listen, I said the Knicks were the biggest surprise in the East. I mean, you could say the Wizards. They're starting to pick it up, but we're kind of on the same page. Boston was my pick as a disappointment so far. There was a lot of disappointments in the East with the Heat, with the Hawks, a lot of teams that I think should be playing a little bit better. You know, so I agree with you out there. Definitely in the West, there's a lot of surprises out there. But I got Nas in the building. I'm going to bring him in, calling out of the 404. Nas, what's going on, brother?
Oh, ain't nothing, man. Cool. What's going on with y'all?
Ain't nothing, man. Just trying to cook these dishes, man. You know, trying to feed the masses. You know, villain in the soup kitchen with the mask on and the apron and everything. So, I don't know if you've been hearing about it, but we were trying to tie up the first half. I don't know if you got any, you know, surprise teams in each conference, any disappointments, any top dogs out in the West. In the East, as you look at the first half of the NBA season?
Yeah, I mean, of course, number one goes to COVID for ruining all kinds of team seasons and messing up rosters. So they're number one on the power chart of messing up the season. But as far as, like, disappointments, I guess, like, Sacramento, Minnesota, New Orleans, those would be my three in the West. And out East, I guess Boston too, but I feel like when Marcus Smart comes back, I feel like they'll still be, you know, what they are. So out East, I think Orlando, you know, them losing the young boy to the injury, like that really changed a lot. So now they're just basically throwing it in the booch for the best because Gordon is out. The young guard is out. I can't even think of his name. The man who lost his jumper and had to – my boy Folks. Right, so Folks is out. So I guess I would throw those two in there. And then as far as Rookie of the Year, of course, you know, LaMelo is the leader. And then we could go with Sadiq Bey in Detroit is playing well. Peyton Pritchard has had some moments out in Boston. Patrick Williams for Chicago. But, yeah, LaMelo's kind of running away with that, man, unless Anthony Edwards just goes crazy in the second half. Like, I don't know how crazy you'd have to go to catch LaMelo, who appears to now be the everyday starter. And Devontae Graham, I don't know if he's long for Charlotte. He may find a different home pretty soon. But, yeah, man, y'all made some good points on that, man. But, yeah, it's been an interesting season, man. Like, when you look at some of the favorites and how they're looking right now, and then when you look at some of the teams we assume would be in the playoffs, you know, like the Hawks and some of these other ones who are kind of struggling. And I think most of them will be happy just getting in at this point. Like, they had high expectations, and now I think they're just happy to get in.
Yeah, I had totally forgot about Orlando, and folks, good pickup on that, Sirius. When the Heat went down, that changed the momentum of the Magic. They're a better team than what they are. I totally forgot that they should be a little bit better. But, I mean, the injury bug, it just snapped them out of place. And I agree with you. Listen, I said it. I think Marcus Smart, once he's healthy, he'll kind of help that Boston team get back to where they are. But I look at it like, you got two all-stars, man. You two games over 500 with two all-stars? Come on. You got to do better than that. You know what I mean? You got to do better than that. But, yeah, I mean, listen, every team you guys laid out is pretty much where I kind of put them. I thought the Pelicans were a big disappointment, too. I think they really miss Holiday. I think they need a point guard desperately out there. I don't think Melo Ball is that guy. So we'll see. We'll see what the Pelicans do. But, you know, they got two guys at the top, in Ingram and Zion, that, you know, should be pushing them a little bit better. But, Sirius, I'll come back to you. MVP, who's your guy, and who would be the runner-up if your guy didn't win, and who was your dark horse for the MVP candidate so far this year?
Wow. So the guy for me right now is Joel Embiid. I think this is a guy who, honestly, gentlemen, has taken his game to another level. He has a consistent jump slide. He has a drop step move. He can play with his back to the basket. He's an overall problem. He hits his free throws consistently. So for me, Joel Embiid, is my MVP, which is weird because, again, as I've said previously, I have came for this dude several times, and now he's coming for me. So salute to him for doing that. If he doesn't get it, obviously Joker comes to mind for what he's doing. But for me, the thing is with him is the Denver Nuggets have to play better. They mm-hmm. really have to play better. They have dropped some games, and it's literally been Joker and nobody else at times in Denver. Jamal Murray, Bubble Jamal is what they're calling him now. You know, he goes through stretches where he shows up for a little bit and then doesn't show up at all. So Joker would be the runner-up in my opinion. I mean, if you want to say a dark horse, I don't understand how, Bradley Beal would be a dark horse in this conversation. But once again, he's not really getting as much love as he should. This is a guy who is leading the league in scoring, was the leading scorer of his All-Star team, coming out of Washington, first-time starter, has really been carrying the torch for the Washington Wizards. People haven't been paying attention to his game over the past few years. This guy has been playing some significant ball. So if there was ever a dirt course, in my opinion, it would be Bradley Beal. But, it's a long dirt course, in my opinion. I think people are going to fall in love with what Joel Embiid is doing. The 76ers is the number one seed in the East. They got Doc Rivers. They're the sexy pick to come out of the East. I think he actually finds a way to get
them
done this year.
Yeah, I mean, Joker needs help. Porter getting back, he's going to be the X factor in Denver. He can make or break that team, I think. Murray is that guy, but I think Porter's going to make or break that team to getting to the next level. But I love Joker. He has the numbers to back it up. And I said Embiid is the MVP. I don't know how you could not give it to him at this point. He's just doing everything for a really good team. Naj, who do you think is the MVP right now, and who's the guy that would be the guy holding him up, the runner-up behind him?
Yeah, I think you guys are right. I think it's Joel. He had a phenomenal season, and he's been consistent from day one. So I think it's his to lose. But the runner-up, I'm going to go a little different. I think it's LeBron James. I think if he's able to tread water and get them a higher seed at his age, doing what he's doing 35 minutes a night, I think a lot of the sentiment will shift to LeBron James, and he could possibly steal this from Embiid just because everybody knows Anthony's not there. And I'm a little down on Joker now just because he was playing so well, but they were struggling. And as they've started to play better, it's been with Jamal starting to play better. So it's been like, Joker was carrying them, but not really carrying them far. And then as Jamal started to play better, you see their record change, and now they're climbing back up again. So I'm going to go with Bron as the dark horse. I know it don't sound right to say Bron as a dark horse, but in this season, I think he's got a shot.
I mean, Bron is having an MVP year. I mean, let's just be, you know, I gave him his flowers. He's having an MVP year, but it's just like, to me, you know, Embiid is having such a phenomenal year that it's hard not to give it to him. And you know, we know the best player in the league is. We know LeBron's the best player in the league, but, you know, not every year the best player of the league wins the MVP. Ask Michael Jordan. So, you know, it's just, I think it's Embiid's time. I said as a dark horse is Harden. And I know Sirius is going to snicker at me, but ever since he went to Brooklyn, he's been everything that they've needed. Scoring, rebounding, assist, facilitator, point guard, whatever they needed, he's done. And he's done at a triple-double level. So I know he won't win it. I don't think he probably is going to be in that conversation. But I think, you know what, he's having a pretty darn good year, and I think probably one of his best years overall, just going to a new team and everything he went through to be at this level right now and really elevating that Nets team. They've won 9 out of their last 10. I would definitely think Harden's in that mix. But, I mean, I'll switch gears. Who do you think is the coach of the year? I'll come back to you, Naj. I mean, there's a lot of good candidates on that list. I mean, Eric threw out a couple before we lost him. But, you know, it's halfway through the year. Who do you think is the coach that has separated himself and is the coach of the year?
Oh, I think it's Quinn Snyder. I don't even think it's close. I think Quinn is way above the field, and I don't think there's a way really for anybody to catch him. As good as Utah has been, I don't think they're overwhelmingly better than anybody. They just play well together, and they play within that system. So I think Quinn gets the credit. I think he's got it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't say enough about what is going on in Utah, even though the disrespect from LeBron is real, talking about we don't pick the Jazz and 2K. I mean, you better start picking them because they might pick you apart in the playoffs. You don't get your act together. I know that. But Sirius, I mean, who do you think right now is the coach of the year candidate that's separating themselves so far?
I mean, Nas took one. But I'm going to go in a different direction. And here's why. When this hire was made, we all laughed and had a bunch to say about it, but it's Steve Nash. And the reason why I'm thinking Steve Nash is because this is a guy who was gifted greatness. I mean, you walk into a situation where you got, you know, KD, when you got Kyrie Irving, you got managed to acquire James Harden, and literally he didn't mess it up. You know what I'm saying? Like he didn't trip it up. You know, he managed to get Kyrie and Harden to buy in. You know, Kyrie is saying all the right things and you know, actually playing off the ball and letting James Harden facilitate and do what he does. KD hasn't played in, it looks like, almost a month.
Yeah.
From what I'm remembering, you know what I'm saying? And this team is just keeps rolling and keeps winning. I understand come playoff time that, you know, they might have to strap and play some defense and do some other things, but, you know, if Quinn Snyder doesn't get it, it can very easily go to Steve Nash. Dark horse, obviously, would be Doc, but I think Steve Nash is that guy.
Yeah, I mean, Naj, do you have a dark horse? Do you have a guy that you would think is like an honorable mention that can kind of sneak into the mix?
See, now, I don't want to do serious dirty, but if we're giving it to Nash, then that means D'Antoni should be up for a candidate to this. Give it to the guy at the end of the bench who's actually coaching that team. Give it to Mikey B. Mikey, no defense.
Mike D'Antoni, no defense.
Yeah, really? Your guy. Some people are gonna be happy to give Tom Thibodeau a vote.
Yeah, absolutely. He's my dark horse. Absolutely. I mean, for what he has done in New York, to have that team come in there playing defense with pretty much the same cast with a couple new pieces at last year, where you know, whoever you had as Miller and company couldn't get this team to play defense. They're playing defense. They're in the playoffs. They're a game. They're like a half a game from catching Boston and ahead of teams that they probably shouldn't be ahead of in the Heat and the Raptors. Yeah, Tibbs has got to get that vote. But I'm looking at Quinn Snyder, obviously, as the coach of the year. He's got to be the guy. He's got that team. I said it earlier in the show. From 1 to 12, he's got this team playing defense. They shoot. They defend the wing. They defend the basket. They do everything. This team is just phenomenal. And they got a great scorer and great player in Donovan, but they don't have that alpha guy like KD or Curry or LeBron. But they have good players, and they've all bought in. Connolly's having a resurgent year where we thought he was finished. And he's probably I would have him as a comeback player of the year, to be honest with you, just how bad he was last year. And then now he's in his first All-Star game. So phenomenal what they're doing. But a guy that I got to give some love to, Monty Williams in Phoenix. Like, Phoenix is the number two seed. Yeah, they got Chris Paul. Yeah, they played well in the bubble last year, 8-0. But did we think they were going to be this good? No. And we got to give Monty Williams some credit. What's going on down there with Book and the answer? I like, this is a good team down there, and he deserves a lot of credit. I don't know how you guys feel about Monty, but I think Quinn is the guy, but I think Monty would be in second place.
No wrong with that. He's done a good job this year too.
I mean, honestly, for me, I mean, Monty Williams, you know, no shade to him, you know. But here's the thing with that. Monty Williams is benefiting from arguably one of the greatest floor generals we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, with CP3 going there, everywhere that CP3 has went has done well. You know, he's turned the team around. You know, he came to Houston. We get in the Western Conference Finals. He goes to OKC. He takes a team put together with I Love Jesus tape and glue and gets them into the playoffs. Like, I mean, it's insane watching what he's doing. And, again, this is no shade to anybody else, but Monty Williams is pushing the right buttons. You know, he's best with Devin Booker, who – is arguably one of the greatest shooters and one of the greatest guys to play that position for that organization. And, you know, so it'll be interesting what happens with him. But Monty Williams, no shade.
Yeah, absolutely. I just love what they're doing in Phoenix. That's a dangerous team. I don't know if anybody wants to play them in the 7-game series. So it'd be nice to see Devin Book on a playoff stage and see what he can do, if he can light it up like Mitchell and Murray did last year. So we're winding it down. Got to close the lid on this one. Thank you guys for calling in. Naj, I'll let you start to close out. Give me a shout out, plug, you know, anything you want to talk.
Yeah, I really got nothing to add, man. Shout out to y'all for knocking another show down. I missed the majority of it, but just wanted to get in a little bit when I could. But, yeah, man, tomorrow night we got two games, so let's enjoy the rest of this basketball season and see how it plays out, man. So salute to you. Salute to Sirius, Ty, Royce, Eric, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for calling in. Sirius, my brother, my man, we beat, but we know we got nothing but love, man. Get your clothes out, brother.
Yeah. Man, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703. I, too, was a little tardy to the party, but my baby needed a pamper, so I had to go make that cheddar. Man, it's such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another day, man. Yo, definitely thanks for checking out the blogs, the shows, and everything like that, man, on www.associatesets.com. Shout out to all the contributors on this show, whether you guys are here on air, whether you guys are behind the scenes. Man, we can't do it without everybody, man. Lord willing, y'all be blessed. Y'all stay safe. Lord willing, I'll catch you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Callers, cook out tomorrow, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You know, we're going to do some big things. Thanks, Sirius. Thanks, Nas, Eric, for holding me down for most of the show, having some technical difficulties with him. But, you know, definitely we love you. Shout out to the boss man, TP, doing big things, making moves all over the place on Clubhouse, working with those guys over there. Shout out to Royce. Shout out to Chris, Dion, all the guys, man. You know, Alan, friends of the program. We can't do it without you. Get to the website, read the blogs, the interviews. Get the merchandise. We got shirts. We got sweaters, sweatshirts. We got coffee mugs. I got my mug right here. I'm about to fill it up with some hot cocoa, you know, because the villain's got to stay warm. But, you know, do all that good stuff. Power 103 will be on there tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with our Crossover Cafe show. Doing a lot of big things, man, just to go support. I would say tell a friend to tell a friend again that it's the chefs. And if they don't know, now they know. But you already know that. So from the villain to you, I'm saying good night and eat a nice cheese sandwich.
Sports City, Sports City. Chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City. Chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City. Chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City. Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City, chef, chef. Sports City, Sports City, chef, chef. Yeah. Cabin. Todd.
Connecticut.